3 years ago this week, I was candidating for this position here at Holy Trinity. Today's elections were on the docket at that time. I could have preached on a number of things, but I decided to preach from the appointed readings. Like last week's teaching on the parable of the sower or the soil, today's parable was taught by Jesus at essentially the same time, maybe even just a few minutes apart from the parable of the sower, while Jesus was sitting in the boat, just a few yards offshore in Galilee. This means the same ground rules apply to both parables. Jesus addresses the mixed reception of his teaching and healing that has been receiving, and even though his parables somewhat cloak his own interpretation of events and attitudes that are hanging in the air at the time, he does explain the meaning of his parables pretty clearly to his disciples who ask. We modern readers of the gospel get to be a fly on the wall. So Jesus' explanation to his disciples is also an explanation to us. Today's parable of the wheat and the weeds is a tricky one for a couple of reasons. First of all, the weeds Jesus is talking about are common to the Levant, the area of the Middle East in which Israel is situated. But we would not know about them here in America without a little lesson in botany. And secondly, Jesus' teaching is tricky for us Americans because we are an egalitarian people, at least on paper. And we might tend to think that the whole point of Jesus' teaching seems unfair and prejudiced against certain kinds of people. Even though we don't like to think of Jesus in any other way than that he is loving and forgiving, he still is obviously making a point regarding God's discernment and judging of people. The weed Jesus refers to in today's parable is Laurium temulentum. This is a genus and species of a wild grass in the ryegrass family, known as darnel, or poison darnel. It's a tall grass, and it grows in the same kind of soil preferred by wheat. But poison darnel is not a grass that's grown deliberately by anybody in the world, as far as we know. It's basically just a weed, and a dangerous one. The premise of Jesus' parable is a sound one for his listeners at the time. The scenario Jesus describes in his story is very likely to have happened many times over the course of Middle Eastern history. It's very common for poison darnel to invade wheat fields and to take over and ruin a crop. The sneaky thing about poison darnel is that it looks almost exactly like the wheat that it has invaded. There's no way to tell the two plants apart until they reach maturity, so close to harvest that it's too late to divide them out. But then, just before the wheat is ready to be harvested, the heads of wheat, the racemes, which contain the grain, get heavy. And because of the arrangement of the wheat seeds in relation to the stem of the plant, the wheat stems bend over under that weight. Darnel seeds are different at this point in the plant's growth. Yet seeds are lighter and are arranged in rows perpendicular to the stem's axis, allowing the stem to remain standing straight and tall in the middle of the bending wheat. In addition to this, darnel seeds turn black as they ripen. So in a mixed field, when the harvest approaches, you would see tall black darnel sticking up all over a field of bent over golden wheat. If a person eats poison darnel, just a little bit will intoxicate you. You'll feel and act like you're drunk. But if you eat too much, it will kill you. Wheat, on the other hand, as we all know, is a staple that keeps entire civilizations alive. You might say that in a field infected with poison darnel, it is as if the bread of life has become infected with the bread of death. So now that we understand the difference between wheat and weeds in question, we need to look into Jesus' ending interpretation of the parable. What does Jesus say? Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." And he answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. That's strong. It sounds pretty harsh to me, actually. And I expect it sounds pretty harsh to most of you as well. It would be easy for us, as it has been easy for different readers over the course of the church's history, to assume that Jesus' explanation means very simply that the world contains wheat and it also contains poisonous weeds. And that's just the way it is. Some people are chosen for God's kingdom and some people are chosen for the fire of hell. Well, that's a little oversimplistic. And there is a sizable group of Christians who hold to that interpretation, but it doesn't mean that it's necessarily correct. If we look at the text of Matthew itself, Jesus says that the field is the world. But there have been many who see the field as the church. If we take the point of view that the field is the world, then one historical conclusion would be that the wheat is those of us in the church, that is to say, believers, over against those who are not believers or who belong to other gods. But that our lives, our roots, are so intertwined, and we all look so similar, that it's best to leave well enough alone and let God sort things out. If we take the point of view that the field is the church, then we're not assuming that everybody in the church is a believer, but rather that Christian congregations are a mixed bag of the converted and the unconverted, of believers and non-believers, of the convinced and the cynical. Experience bears out this idea as well. But the roots are still intertwined, and it's not easy to tell us all apart. If our proverbial field were a classroom, then the wheat would probably be the students who naturally understand and excel. And the weeds or darnel would be those students who take a lot of extra work. If you look at the situation like slaves in Jesus' story, look at it, who are concerned for the efficient use of their master's resources, then those students would be the ones who waste the time and effort and resources of the master because he has to raise them up just like he has to raise up the wheat. But then, after all that work, they will just be thrown into the fire. Not a pleasant graduation to contemplate. Ironically, as a teacher, as frustrating as it is when somebody just doesn't get it, it's also more satisfying to be able to engage more of your teaching skills and to try and bring the more difficult students along. And it's more satisfying when they're finally able to walk across the platform at the end of the day and receive their diploma. Well, if that's the case, then what happens here? Do plants change? Is that even possible? I think in all this talk of judging who is who and what is what, we forget about two important things. First of all, we in the church are probably the slaves in that story. Notice Jesus does not say what the slaves are in his explanation. He leaves them out. But think about it. We look around ourselves in our churches and we think to ourselves, there's an awful lot of weeds in this group. We should go tell the master and offer to help pluck them out. We all do it. What is this person doing in a church like ours? They don't belong here. They don't believe all the right stuff. They don't make the same comfortable assumptions that the rest of us make. Let's run them off. We wouldn't be so blunt, I would hope. What does the master say when the slaves go to him and point out the situation? He says, no, leave the field alone. It's not your job to decide which plants are wheat and which are weeds. That's for the angels. These plants all look too much alike, so stop thinking that you need to help weed anybody out and mind your own business. Smart thinking. Who knows how much of the harvest would be lost if a bunch of plants were pulled up prematurely? Second thing we forget is that Jesus here is concerned with food. He's looking to make sure the people of Israel and we are fed the spiritual food that we need. And together with this, he's still addressing the problem of the Pharisees, who are standing right there, whom Jesus considers to be bad teachers, who spread poison among the people so that they can never be harvested. We might never know who all the weeds could be, but the Pharisees are definitely weeds. And many teachers sown among the wheat to poison it are also weeds, because they lead people astray. The picture of what the wheat and the darnel plants do when they mature is very telling. If Jesus is the master who has sown the seed in his field, then the wheat will bow to him. Remember, the wheat bends over. The wheat will bow to him, humble and golden, when it is mature. But the poisoned darnel will proudly hold their black heads in the air and not bow. Last week in the parable of the sower, we were left with the question, what kind of soil are we? This week, in the parable of the wheat and the weeds, we are left with the question, what kind of plant are we? What's the difference? Well, I don't know, maybe the amount of work that we take to become what we are meant to be. Maybe our end at the harvest. It's no mistake that the mature wheat bows, but poisoned darnel refuses. Our tendency is to look around us and think to ourselves, I'm wheat, but those other people, I'm pretty sure those are just weeds. They might even be dangerous. If we do this, we're being like the slaves in the story. We're not necessarily trying to be mean or judgmental, but as humans, one of the things we always do is assume that our point of view is the right one. Sometimes we are blind to the reason why we have the point of view we do. What if things that seem plain to us are not so plain to God? In the story, the slaves are just trying to be responsible and do their jobs well. They notice darnel in their master's fields and assume that it would be wise to do something about the problem right now. But the master says, hold your horses. Let's just let all the plants continue to grow together until harvest. It's not the slaves who get to do the harvesting anyhow. Beings with better judgment and obedience skills get to decide which plants belong in which pile. What are we supposed to take away from this parable? I'm not sure I can tell you that, but I would ask you to ponder a couple of things. The field belongs to the master. No matter what is growing in it, it all belongs to the master. It's the master's prerogative to decide what to do with it, not ours. And even though we think that we know what needs to be done because it seems pretty obvious to us, pretty cut and dried, so to speak, maybe it's not. The master knows full well that wheat and dangerous weeds are growing up together in his field, and he wants it to be left alone, so that both fruitful plants and unfruitful plants will grow together until harvest. Why is that? What is the relationship between the wheat and the weeds? How are their roots woven around one another's so that it would make it risky to pull the wheat up, or to pull the weeds up and maybe the wheat with them? Why wait so long? Our master seems to know that somehow wheat will be even more plentiful if the weeds around them are left alone. Maybe some weeds might actually be converted to wheat by the intermingling of those roots. Stranger things have happened. We're reminded this morning that the whole creation is groaning with pain, and that everything is waiting eagerly for the revealing of the children of God. Lord, Lord, you have searched us out and known us. May the harvest be plentiful, and may the revealing of your children come soon.